Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast where we're super happy to be reviewing this. I'm going to do it again.
Is it redeemable?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast where we're super happy to be reviewing this movie. Yep.
It's called Valerian and the...
And the city?
City of a Thousand Planets.
Which in my mind, I kept just transferring to the City of a Thousand Corpses, which is, I think, it's like, there's some kind of horror movie with a thousand corpses out there.
This is the zombie guy, the Rob Zombie guy.
Rob Zombie, there we go. So.
Right? I think so.
Okay, I have some notes. I got some fun facts. Let's start off with some fun facts.
Hit me!
Luc Besson directed this movie. That's a fun fact.
Yes, so they are the Fifth Element director.
Yes.
It makes a lot of sense.
Also, Lucy, which it was fine, and The Professional.
Okay.
Oh, it goes real weird. Yeah, it goes real weird.
That tracks.
Sorry, the recording just named itself back to unentitled recording. Unentitled. I'm just gonna put it back to Val and the Big City, which is, you know what? I'm just gonna call this movie Val and the Big City now because I can't with the other title.
Okay.
Change approved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he produced it with his wife, whose last name I'm not going to try and say.
It's Franche.
Yes. Where did I put her? She's here somewhere. I made a note. I wrote her name down. Bridget.
Hey, Bridget. What up, Bridget. Girl?
Yeah.
Brigitte.
Brigitte. Probably Brigitte. They're French. It's the French people. They make interesting movies.
They sure do.
There we go. Yes, I've summarized it all. Sweeping generalizations abound.
It's from a graphic novel. I know
yes,
that
yes,
one.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's very popular in France. French.
It ran from 1967 to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
On Wikipedia, it says that the writers of the comic have a writing credit on this, but then it says the screenplay was by Luc Besson, so...
Yeah, it's probably because it's their material, like it's their story.
Yeah. Mixed reviews.
I'd say.
Upon pre-release.
Yeah.
Let's get some other fun facts out of the way. It's very long. Okay.
It is long.
Yeah. As you can tell, we were so excited to be reviewing this movie because we had lots of fun watching it.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either.
I thought there was a lot of cool stuff. I think this needed an editor. Afterwards, when it came up and it was like, directed by Luc, written by Luc, I'm like, I see. I see what's happened here.
He also financed it himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he got some very creative financing, too. He got like a bunch of grants and French stuff.
He got some French grants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think it was very cool that he was able to finance this dream project on his own and get to a place in his career where that's something he could do.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I think it did way better over there where people knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I also did see a fun fact that it was released like 2 weeks after Spider-Man. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break because you're not turning purple anymore. But we'll come back with the plot.
My Here face we go. Is purple.
Just in case. No, wait, say something again.
My face is purple.
No, you're still purple. I'm panicking. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had a technical struggle today. I accidentally muted my system and then I unplugged it. I plugged everything back in and Pauline was coming out of my computer and then my camera was my microphone. And
I just want to say... This one time, I didn't do
it. It was me.
It wasn't me today.
Usually I'm like, turn the... Hello. No, it was me.
No, because it usually is me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me
okay,
today.
Okay. Plot. Train. There's a train coming by. We're letting it happen. So it starts off with ground control to Major Tom.
Yeah.
We're letting it happen.
Yeah, so it starts off in 70s space.
Yes.
Ground control to Major Tom, awesome. Different aspect ratio than the rest of the movie, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's opening up on a really cool montage of international space cooperation.
Yes.
Where we meet on the International Space Station and we work together to make like anti-gravity, make mm-hmm. the station bigger. You see it get bigger and bigger and bigger as different countries come together, pool their resources, make the space station awesome. And then that it'll jump forward to like 2031, 2150. It keeps jumping forward. And then we meet aliens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So and you just see like the same sort of scene repeating as like the two ships connect and then people are handshaking. And those people, did you see this fun fact? All the captains on the spaceship that were greeting all the aliens are all like famous French directors.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
That's really cool. I also noticed a nod to the aliens from Fifth Element, like the third or fourth alien that showed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And I was like, wait a
second.
That's
cute. Well, it's a little continuity. It's cute. That's a hell of a long train.
It's a really loud train today. I live right next to a train. It's great. All right. Well, we're going to move on this locomotive of plot and try and work this background noise into our podcast somehow.
Right. And so now the space station gets so big, it's now called the Alpha Station, and then they have to, like, push it out of Earth's orbit because it's going to, like, it's so big it's going to crash into Earth. So they push it out, and they do say how far it is. And my lovely husband guffawed.
Uh-huh. Because my husband had something to say about this as well.
Still firmly in our galaxy. I believe it didn't quite make it to Saturn.
Yes. Okay, so first of all, they were like, the president of the Earth is someone who I recognize. Not Khan.
Yes.
Somebody.
No, it's because he looks like Anthony Hopkins, but it's not him.
Who is it? It's not Anthony Hopkins. Oh, I was going to write it down. But anyway...
Oh, no, you got the Wikipedia app.
I can get the IMDb up. IMDb.com. So, yes, the president makes an announcement that the space station is getting too heavy. Too chunky. And it is going to smash into Earth. So they got into Mother Earth. Mm. So they're going to push it out into space. How do you spell Valerian? This has also been my struggle this entire time.
I think it's all A's. Isn't it all A's?
It's not Valerian. Valerian. Valerian.
That's not what I wrote.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah. I think the train shook my camera cord a little bit. Because now Riverside's like, we're having trouble accessing
your
camera.
There's some...
Actually, what's going on? Everything's all shaky. Today is a great day.
It is going to be Ruder, a good one.
Rutger Hauer?
Oh, yeah, he's someone. Yeah.
He is. He's done many a thing.
Yeah. It's got a good
Blade Runner.
Face. There you go.
He's one of the OG Blade Runners. Okay. There you go. That's where I know him from.
Yeah.
Okay. Things seem to have stabilized. Wow.
Excellent.
My husband did notice that they didn't actually need to launch it into space. They could have just pushed it a little further out of orbit, and then it would have been fine.
Yeah, but I think when they were talking about that, they were wanting it to travel.
Yeah.
For opportunities.
Opportunities.
They didn't just want to keep it clear of Earth. They wanted it to go into space so that it could do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gone just, and they were like 700 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Light
it was like
years.
700 something.
Something.
Into the Magellan Current.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's a real thing or in-universe thing, but it's definitely... The unit of measurement they gave is not that far.
Yeah. My husband laughed and he's like, that's all.
Yeah, that's my dude.
I was like, totally.
The face was like,
yeah.
We had to just like pause it while he explained to me what he was guffawing about. Because I'm like, not being very aware of that sort of thing. I was just sort of like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of space.
So then we're 400 years later.
Yeah.
Planet
I was
just Mule.
About to say that.
Mer, best.
Mer.
Planet Mule. Okay. Avatar vibes.
Yes.
On this
pale episode. Avatar.
beautiful. Really, really beautiful. I like the look of this. Like, everything was like the world colors were really saturated, but the people were all like pearlescent kind of stuff. And they have like, they're very like in tune with nature. A lot of shells, a lot of pearls.
Shells?
And the pearls are like
important.
Important because they're like a power, that power source, that are like really, really important power source. Mm-hmm. And then they go, like, take the pearls out. And then they have these little converters, which are, like, these little pocket dinos. And then they give it to the little converter. And he... Does he poop it or does it just come out of his tummy?
I think it comes out of his scales.
Great.
Yes. I saw his little scales lift up and it's like...
Okay. That makes more sense. And then it's sort of like a popcorn machine.
Yeah.
And he just
into
sort of,
a pool.
Into a little pool. So he replicates... everything.
There was a fancy pearl, so the queen was like, this pearl's fancy and shiny.
Fancy.
gave it to the princess
who we're following. That's who we're following in here.
She's
and
our
they
gal.
Have their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the most beautiful skin. Like, everything is like, it's like body glitter for the win all over them. And then when they touch their foreheads as a greeting and out, like, it sort of goes across. It's very cool. And then, like, as they're like putting the pearls, they're like, oh, we take the pearls and we give them back to Mother Nature. So it's like, what we take, you know, we convert, make more of it, give it back to Mother Nature, blah blah blah, on it goes. And then you can see it like pulsing veins of energy through this thing, so everything's beautiful and lovely. And then all hell breaks loose. So we look up and we see broken spaceships, I guess, coming through and colliding into their planet. And then there's one huge motherfucker of a ship that comes in and basically just destroys them.
Yeah, so, princess is trapped outside. Everyone
didn't
else
quite make it.
Yeah, one of the smaller ships that fell down, they all run to it, they go inside, and as the big ship comes down, they close the door and the handle breaks off. So it's like they're stuck inside, she's outside, she just says her goodbyes to, I think, her dad.
It's her dad. It's hard to tell because, like, it seems to be once they reach maturity, they just state they're ageless and they're very androgynous. It's like it's hard to tell who's who for the first little bit, but they wearing like a lot of headpieces and stuff that helps later. And then, yeah, so she sort of accepts her fate, and then she's like power stances and then sends out this big blue energy surge as she dies.
And then the movie gets... not as interesting.
And then the movie starts to tank, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like, so later on there is a like recap, where has this species been since this event? And I was like, I feel like a more interesting movie would have actually just been to follow that entire storyline.
Or the original concept of the graphic novel, which was to not follow Valerian, it was to follow Laureline.
They hardly ever say her name.
No, but Laureline. It's like Laureline. Laureline.
Who knows?
Anyway, this particular, apparently, story that they're following was her story.
Great.
And for all I know, they like flip-flop between who's leading. Between these two in the stories, in this particular story,
it was hers and they gave it to
hers and they gave it to discount Benicio del Toro with Keanu Reeves' voice.
I watched this movie twice, Pauline, because...
Ew, why?
Well, because when we first were like, this is the next one we're going to do.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, we've been having sometimes, and I'm never doing this again. FYI. Bad idea. But... the idea to just watch it two times so I don't miss things. Well, let me tell you how. The first time I watched this movie, I wasn't taking notes, and that was nice.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to watch a movie without having to take notes and kind of like keep track of things that way. But when you're doing a podcast about bad movies, I don't recommend watching it twice unless it was so redonk that you're like, I gotta see it again. Like Beowulf. Yeah. Or, you know, I would probably watch The Country Bears again.
Totes, 100%.
To be honest with you. Every time I go through a car wash. So the first time I watched it, I was like, this movie's not so bad. It drags, but, you know, Last night was a different experience and I was in pain.
No.
My notes.
No.
Okay, I'm going to show you the progression of my notes. So this is the beginning of the notes at the beginning of the evening.
Oh, there's a flow chart.
As we go on, they get like a little more sparse. And then, you know, I just start putting chunks where I, like lines where I just stopped. And then, you know, at one point, I don't even know what this is, that I've the bubble is dead.
Yes. I think I have that same note.
I must have been frustrated here. I just stopped looking at what I was writing. Anyway. Do not recommend watching two times through. Never going to do that again unless it is something that's so insane I have to watch it again. You know what I'm saying?
For fun. Like, watch it without notes the second time for fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I only watch them once.
First time through Emily probably would be much more forgiving to this movie, but second time through Emily, it's like when you go back to a guy that you should not have gone back to.
Don't do
and
it.
And you leave and you think to yourself, why'd I do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, where are we?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is Valerian and Lorelai.
We are on a holodeck.
They're on a holodeck.
So it's a beach. We meet Loreline's butt.
We do.
She spends a decent chunk of the first half of this movie in a bikini.
Mm-hmm. Another train.
And a bikini with a cover-up, which
yeah,
a dress. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Whatever.
It's fine.
I mean, on this particular scene, they're at the beach. Yeah, sure, she'll be in a bikini. Actually, pretty cute bikini.
Yeah, actually.
And then we have this very awkward... I don't know how many times people try this, and I can't immediately recall on the top of my head when this works, when you're like, intricate fight move to get you on your back, witty dialogue. Intricate fight move to get you on your back, witty dialogue. And it's like, there's no flow... And there's no play. Like, they weren't playing. You know? Like, it would be one thing if it was like, oh, no, I'm on my back and I'm super into this. It was basically just like, tactical move, 82 Zappa. And then we, like, and oh, look, nobody spills this drink. And blah, 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 blah. So anyway, from this, we're supposed to ascertain that they are A, partners, and B, in love?
Yes. Well, yes. He loves her, and she's playing hard to get.
Is that what that
is? So, or something.
I think what she's... I think what's trying to be accomplished here is that she is, throughout... Every time they talk about being in love and being together, she is... somehow trying to get him to come up to the mark.
Yeah, he's a lady killer. He's had all these girlfriends, and she wants him to prove that he is interested in only her.
Yeah, and also to,
is
like,
the gist of this.
Quit dicking around, like, in life.
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly how he's supposed to accomplish that when, like, nothing in his life is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're clearly still banging. They're clearly still, their career is the same. I'm holding the bridge of my nose.
Oh, you think they're banging?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought
I do.
Oh, and I took it as they didn't bang till the end.
I think they're doing something.
Hmm. Well, there we go.
They're definitely smooching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he should not have been touching her that way if they're not banging.
No, that's true. Yeah. So, will they, won't they? Spoiler alert. I don't care. Okay, so he had a dream. He's talking to Space Alexis, who is named Alex, which is funny.
Alexa,
Alex. I'm a little bit...
Like, Alexis. Space Alexis?
Ooh.
Oh, I wrote that.
Oh, wow.
She's got a name, this ship.
Alex. It's
great.
Alex. Yeah, oh. Yeah. Okay, so this actor is, he's Dane DeHaan, I think is how you say it.
Apparently he's quite good.
Yes. For me, the only other thing I think I've seen him in is Lizzie's Story, which also stars Clive Owen. Where he is a motherfucker and he beats the shit out of the lead actress several times. He's like a super fan of Clive Owen, was an author. It's a Stephen King thing. And like, he is such a frickin', he's awful. It's really good. He does it well. But like, that character is just the frickin' worst. So watching him in this movie, it was very hard for me to shake that.
Well, he was just in Oppenheimer, which I have not seen.
Yes, I saw that. I've not seen it either yet.
He also played Billy the Kid in The Kid, which apparently he got really good reviews on. And then he was the Green Goblin in the Andrew Garfield
Spider-Man. Oh, okay. Yeah,
He's in lots of, like, big things. And apparently he is very good. Sadly, I've only seen him in this. And this, I don't think, is his best turn.
No, I don't think this is the role for him, really. Mm-mm. In a way... sometimes it is, but I don't know.
I feel like somebody that had charisma might have been able to pull this off.
Yeah, and I think a lack of just chemistry between him and Cara Delevingne was an issue too. In that fight scene you're talking about, well, the 30 fight scene on the beach. It did kind of feel like they were at the point in rehearsal where they had everything down, but they hadn't let go yet. You know?
Yes.
This whole movie kind of feels like that to me for both of them. That they hit their marks, they say their lines, they're doing their thing, but it feels very like tight. Not quite there yet. Yeah.
Well, and just like even the actual relationship just pisses me off because it's like here's like a fully competent woman going about her life, fully grown, doing her thing, and then she's got to rear this man child. I don't get what she sees in him, because even at the end, this man, this man is a child.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they're going on their mission, which is to get a thing. They're getting the converter from the big market, I think is what it's called.
Yep, big market.
Which is really cool. It's a market in another dimension. You have to wear glasses to see it and have these special gloves to interact with the things in there. Very cool. This is one of the bits of the movie that this heist chunk is pretty nicely done. I didn't feel like this chunk lagged too badly.
Nope.
If this was the pace of the whole movie.
Yeah.
And anyway.
I think wee bit of it could have been trimmed, but like they come onto like this hover school bus with the ground team. This is where we establish that he only works with his partner, one of those kind of things.
Sorry.
They like sort of break in, and the way they break in is like one of these guys has one of those helmets. She shoots a guard up in a guard tower, and then they like take over his body. So the guy's sitting
really
there
cool.
Like. Yeah, that was awesome. So that's how they break in, because everything is incredibly tightly regulated, and we like follow some tourists. He goes in as a tourist. We follow tourists to see like what the experience would be. The only question I have in my head is like, I know as well the thing that's going on is it's in another dimension. So it's like, I don't know as a tourist how you experience the lower levels or upper levels when you're physically only walking on a sand plane. But that's fine. Whatever. I still really enjoyed it. So he has to go meet up with a guy that's already in Big Market and get a cool interdimensional box.
Gun box.
Yeah. Thing. And so, like, you sort of shove your hand in the box and you put your DNA sequence in one end and your DNA sequence in the other end. And it's like the hand that's gone through the box. Picture like a little box that you saw Lady in Half, but smaller and fits on your hand. And then, like, that goes through. And then on that, then the bit that's like in the other dimension, so that your hand that's hanging onto a gun can actually physically be in the other dimension. You're not just experiencing it as a hologram.
And I think gets scanned so so he doesn't show up. His holograph doesn't show up in the other dimension. So he's this little like floating
box hand.
Gun hand box thing.
Kind of
cool. Sneaks into this. Sneaks into this negotiation between John Goodman.
Yeah.
A CG John Goodman as like crime boss of Big Market with really cool guards all around, and there's two of these mule.
I think they just say mule. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that they have like a name.
I called them Pearl People.
Pearl People. Okay.
Okay, great.
There's two Pearl People in their hoods, and they are negotiating for this thing in a box, which is the converter.
Yeah.
They are on a, not a holy mission, but a higher purpose or whatever, you know, and purpose proposes for reasons. Oh, yeah. Previously, he just proposed to her in the bus, whatever. We're moving
outside
on.
Outside of the bus.
Yeah.
Fuck off. So
he gets the, he puts a gun up against John Goodman, C.G. John Goodman's head. He gets the converter. Laurel Line is in the, in our dimension, and she does a little, here's this box. She gets the converter. Blah, blah, blah. Something goes wrong with the gun and his DNA gets stuck and he can't get his hand out of it. So now he's kind of like stuck and exposed.
Yeah.
The guy that scanned him in, scanned him so he'd be invisible, gets killed by a space dog.
Yeah, space dog.
Yeah, so it's a chase. They're running through Night Market. He's stuck.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool chase. I like it. I like this scene. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, there is this weapon that fires like a very heavy ball.
Yeah,
and
like
then
ball
all
bearings,
the other balls. Yeah. Stick onto the gun, and then he's so heavy that he falls down through
magnet
levels.
On? Kind of magnet.
Yeah, magnet on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets out of it by recalibrating one of the balls when he's like down a couple levels, tricking this little alien kid to shooting one of the bad guys with it, and then all the balls go follow the bad guy. Blah blah blah. Lots of running.
Lots
very
of running.
Good chase scene. Loreline gets him out. She fixes the gun thing. He complains the whole time. She gets him out at the last second. Mission success for now. They escape the Night Market area. And they are on the bus. And one of the space dogs follows them.
The bus gets armored.
Bus gets armored.
The dogs are kind of like those dogs from Ghostbusters. Like, there is no Dana, only Zool. It's like that, but a little bit more deserty.
Yeah, desert. Ghostbuster space dogs.
Zool dogs. Yeah.
The space dog pretty much kills everybody except for Valerian and Loreline.
He kills all of the ground team and nobody seems to bat an eye. And I quite like these guys.
Hang on a second. Okay. I have a couple quotes to throw at you that I thought were quite funny. So back in when Valerian sticks his gun against John Goodman's CG John Goodman's head.
Yeah.
They were here, the mule peeps, I wrote down, they're here for a noble cause. And he says, I'm also here for a noble cause. It's called the law. I thought that was pretty great.
It was so bad.
Yeah. At the end of this chase scene with the, there is no Dana, only Zool Ghostbuster space dogs, Loreline and Valerian narrowly escape. And she says, shoot, he ruined my dress.
Yes.
I'm like, everyone just died, and I liked them.
Yeah, anyway. And it's interesting. Like, on the one hand, it's like, well, they've never met them before. On the other hand, this could be a fairly standard mission for them, where they just blast in together as these people, and then they never see these people again, and everybody dies in a wake bump.
Yeah, like, every time.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying we have to sit there and have, like, a memorial for all of these people, but it was like, oh.
Like, wow.
Okay, so that's it? It's over? Okay.
It's over.
So it is. Yeah, that's it. Off we go. Yeah. So we're back on their ship, and they have to go and make their rendezvous at the Alpha Station, and they get told off because they're running late, but they're like, oh, witchy quip. And then it's spa time for the little converter.
Yeah, that was ivory. He takes a little bath. He's not looking
Benzenite?
So great.
What did they say? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know if Benzenite's a word.
We're going to go with Benzenite.
Great. So he gets put into a little thing, gets all recharged in his colors. I'll come back and he's feeling good.
Yeah. So cute.
Yeah. And then, so they rendezvous at the Alpha Station. We get the first look at the actual official uniforms. I kind of like them. They did not fit everybody very well.
Yeah, there's
including
that.
Including Valerian. He looked so not good in that uniform. Like, it was like, okay, so I can absolutely see being like, okay, we just make them in these sizes and away we go. But I would feel like the two leads should have a custom fit. and he looked unfit. He looked tinied his shoulders, it bigged his tummy. What did they do to this man? That was so rude.
I loved how hers was a skirt, of course.
Of course it was.
And then it had like all these shiny strips on her butt for reasons.
Yep. For butt reasons.
So, you know, but like,
you know,
none of the other women had one like her that I noticed. Like there
were a captain.
Well, yeah, there were kind of like, maybe there were no other female captains on this spaceship.
Yeah, you obviously wear your lines on your butt because that's where people are going to look first, Emily.
Look at my butt. So I liked the color and the texture of the fabric.
I did too. I thought really, it was really cool.
I really liked the holographic stripes. Mm-hmm. So it was like a red to green to yellow holographic that sort of shifted in the light.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was really cool. There was lots of gold detailing. You know who did look good in his uniform?
The commander.
Is that Clive Owen? Is that who
yes,
it is?
It is.
Yeah, yes, Clive Owen looked really good in his uniform.
Clive Owen was looking fine in his
looking
uniform.
Great. Yeah, so that was nice.
Yeah, he looked really good. So we meet the commander. Mm-hmm. We also meet these
the
Chirons.
General.
Chirons?
Which ones were the Chirons?
That's those big robot soldiers.
The pretty obviously evil.
Obviously evil.
No, they're not evil
they're
robots.
They're baddies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but,
they looked really cool.
They did look really cool. And we meet the commander and the general. And the commander is like, they're assigned to protect him going forward. He doesn't want to be protected by them because he's got the Chirons. And they're like, no, these two agents have to go with you. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to the diplomatic circle talk thing. So you give me the converter. And she's like, nope, that stays with me.
Yeah.
Which turns out to be a good decision.
That was a good decision. The converter is feeling much better.
Mm-hmm. We also see them torturing a Pearl person.
Yeah. It's pretty clear pretty quickly that Clive Owen is the baddie.
He's baddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So torturing a Pearl person, trying to figure out what's going on. There is some kind of bubble or zone in the middle of this.
Yep.
They're back on the space station.
Oh, yeah.
Did we say they're back on the International Space Station? They are.
They're on Alpha Station. Alpha Station.
Yeah. Alpha Station. Radioactive.
Yeah. So they've got a big sign that's like, this is a radioactive zone. Nothing works in here. It kills everybody that goes in immediately. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take over the space station.
Danger.
Danger, danger. So then we go to the meeting with the United Human something.
Wow. Your notes are so much better than mine.
Yeah.
Even at the stage.
Oh, God. So Valerian goes in with him to stand, and she, Loreline, stays outside with the converter.
At this point, they have changed out of the unfortunate but kind of cool-looking uniforms, and they are wearing their tactical gear.
Which looks pretty cool and comfortable, suits. Actually.
Yeah, those looked really great.
Yeah.
Ooh, Clive Owen has a steampunk bib on.
Yes, he does. They just sort of, like, clip on this...
Ka-chong.
Yeah, since I was kind of into it.
Yeah, no.
That was pretty cool.
So this High Council, it's basically all the aliens from the opening sequence are in this High Council. And they're sitting around. And it's very much like miniature Star Wars Council, you know?
We'll go back to that at the end. Go back to Star Wars at the end. I've got some notes.
Ooh. Very excited. Yeah. Dog
okay, so
and
we
daggies?
Meet, we meet, yeah. We, that's the three duck guys.
There we go.
So we've got three winged build
I don't know.
Aliens.
They're kind of like
and they're sort
eater
of like yeah, kind of and they have that thing where it's like the three witches in Clash of the Titans where they all kind of like finish each other's sentence and they're kind
totally
of a hive mind.
Yep.
But they're also like little opportunists, so they'll sell you any piece of information that they can. They're quite funny.
And
they're exposition dumps.
Yeah, Lorelai is outside guarding, so she runs into these dog and daggies, and they are basically saying there's somebody coming, here's some information. I really thought it was quite funny when they said, well, Dag might know something, this Commander Dag might know something about this planet mule that nobody knows about. Dag's been murdered. Quick cut to just Dag turning to the camera and then like a gun and then like
and a
cut
gun
back.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you. Yes.
I think the reason they did that is that he shows up later in a flashback.
He
and
does.
You wouldn't know who he
is. You wouldn't have known.
You needed a visual. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought that was quite cheeky.
I did too.
And yes, later you're like, ah, oh, yes, here
oh,
he
guy.
Is.
Yeah.
It's that guy. Yeah. On a chase. Okay, so
the red alert.
People show up.
Red alert. Mm-hmm. They're like, there's people coming through. We can't read their signatures. So this gets explained later, but the Pearl people, they've erased them from the system. So
yes,
everything
so
is like,
be...
we can't read their genetic code. A lot of things are based on your genetic code. Mm. They can't, the computer can't tell who's coming. They just know it's 12 humanoids. That's it. Because they've erased them from the system.
yeah.
And they bust in. And they have these non-lethal weapons because that's how they roll. Covers you in goo guns. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of, just Mr. Freeze you, basically, but with goo.
Yeah. It's like getting hit with a big pile of snot and falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Non-lethal weapon. Yeah. Great. And then they...
Valerian puts a little breather on as it comes at him, so he does not get put to sleep.
I thought it was a breather.
Yeah.
A breather.
So he cuts his way out, cuts... Loreline out, and they are on the chase.
Yeah, it's a little spider bot that gets him out of some trouble.
Spider bot, yes, I remember.
So
the
then,
spider
yeah,
bot
so
now.
Then they can pursue, but the Pearl people have taken the commander,
kidnapped.
Yeah, and then now we pursue.
So there's a very long chase. He's chasing. At one point, she's like, go through door 81. Oops, I meant door 18.
Yeah.
A big ship turns into a bunch of little ships when he shoots it. The commander's on one of those ships. Yep. I did write down that this chase could have been an email.
This was really long. I think the thing that was cool about this chase was that you got to see a lot of the different cultures and zones and stuff. Like, so world building wise, it was very cool. It looked good. The CG Valerian running was not bad.
Not bad. So going back to when they were arriving at the city, so Alex, the spaceship, was giving an info dump. Yeah. And at one point she says something like, do you want to hear about all this other stuff?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's enough excitement for now. And I wrote down, that's enough exposition. I mean, excitement for now.
Exactly.
So, but when she was describing, here's this space station, here's all the, it showed little clips of all these different worlds, like an underwater world and like a world where these little things make like, work with the huge cells and stuff.
So we've already
done it. All the worlds that she's talked about, he's now going through. I thought that was clever because it's already been explained. So we don't, just kind of look at this
chase
and go, what the heck? We're like, oh yeah, this place, that place. So I thought that was a good bit of storytelling.
Yep. And we don't spend very long. Yeah, a bit clunky, but we don't spend
with the exposition dump.
We're running through. I think they did the best they could with that exposition dump because it was very much like, computer says,
yes,
this is where we're going, you know?
What are you going to do when you have a property that has been going from 1967 or whatever to 2010?
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to?
Yeah.
There's only so many ways you can get that information in without.
Well, exactly.
Being obviously expositional. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't. It wasn't too bad. So the voiceover dubs in like these kind of sections where it's like, oh, go to your left. Blah blah blah. Like, they suck. It just sounded like somebody being like, I'm checking my mic levels and just half-assedly reading my line. They were terrible.
This portion for me was where I really noticed how very deadpan everything was.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, you've got 5 seconds left and then 30 seconds of actual time later, he actually crashes.
Yeah.
Loreline is... upset, but very subtly so. Which
very subtly.
Yeah,
I get, she's still at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But I think there could have been like a real close up and like a moment there. Like, I think somebody could, you could have gotten a little something more before
something
going back.
Where she turns away and like gathers herself, you know?
Yeah, just a second. Like, it doesn't have to be big, but it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
so
like,
she he's crashed in pursuit of a bear.
In pursuit of a bear. He's gone into the red zone, so now we cannot track him anymore. And I think we spend too long going, Valerian, Valerian, report, copy, copy. And it's like, well, you know he's gone into the dead section.
Mm-hmm. Why cannot he come back?
Or at the very least, he can't communicate, so why are we still yelling?
Drama.
I guess.
It's for drama, mama.
Yeah. Okay, so now she wants to go and get him.
Yeah, I enjoyed how they basically said, so she wants to go get him. No, I can't lose my two great agents on one day or whatever. And the general, not the commander, says, restrain her. And then they don't.
No.
They just don't.
They just great. Don't.
Which it proves seconds later to have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Because she's taken away by these two. Yeah, she calls them on. Yeah. She's like, wait, he said to restrain me. They go to restrain her. She kicks the crap out of them.
Yeah, she
just kicks them in the crap.
Right in the crap. And then she finds those little duck people again. And she's like, all right. Yeah,
goes off on her own little mission.
You're going to help me get to Valerian. And this is house. And then we have to go on a side quest.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, do we.
Okay, I wrote down, they go to get a space jellyfish and they put her head in and up to see his location somehow.
Okay, so we have 1 minute that you can put this jellyfish on your head and it will tell you what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend, I think, 40 seconds reviewing things we have already seen.
Yes. And then I'm not going to worry about it.
I don't want to worry about it.
I don't know how the space jellyfish works.
Nope.
But somehow it works.
Oh, also Pirate Bob gets us that off the back of a very big sea creature.
I thought he looked familiar.
He is an actor, but he is also a French director.
Okay, there we go. Aha. Another one of those. Mm-hmm. He was cool looking.
I liked him.
He's this like submarine space pirate. He goes down. They get the jellyfish off the back of this very large underwater thing.
Creature. Yeah.
They almost die.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. She finds Valerian.
Yeah, so now she knows where he is.
I stopped taking notes for a bit.
Okay.
I started taking notes when we get to the clam club.
Yeah. All right. So then she's off to find Valerian. She does find him, and then we know that the duck people go to the general and they're going to sell him some information. Now we don't know what they're going to sell him yet. So then she finds Valerian, and apparently he needs resurrecting somehow, which she does.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, okay, moving on. And then she gets mad at him because he doesn't say like anything like thank you. Oh my god, you're here. Awesome sauce. Okay, now on to the mission. So then they have like a fight about it, and this guy. And then there's some beautiful butterflies or dragonflies or something that are floating about.
Sure.
One lands on her wrist, and they're actually like fishing bait. So she gets yoinked up. Then he goes and does it deliberately, gets yoinked up. She gets caught by these people that I can't remember the name of them. And then he is got to go rescue her.
Yeah. So she's
like, she couldn't get out of this pickle on her own.
She's been kidnapped by these very large aliens. And at this point she becomes
a helpless woman.
Pretty useless.
Yep.
Until she gets rescued, and then she's back to being not useless again. So that's fun.
This is another completely useless side quest. We did not need any of this.
Yeah. Wikipedia says she rouses him but is kidnapped by a primitive tribe.
They do have a name. It starts with B or something, but they don't speak to anybody else either.
Oh, the Bulan
there you go.
Bathors.
There you go.
Off the planet Goara.
Yeah, and they're a little hostile.
Yeah. So for some reason, Valerian goes in... Okay,
we're in the
not
pleasure.
That I minded because... Yeah, this scene was kind of cool, him walking through, like, the Pleasure City.
Pleasure District.
And seeing a bunch. Yeah, pleasure... I can't say things. The Pleasure District. Really cool costumes.
Very cool.
A bunch of sex workers approach him and try and get his attention.
Did you notice the lady on the swing?
Yes.
She was the actor that provided the motion capture for the princess that dies at the beginning.
Aww.
And I clocked her. I was really proud of myself because I was like, she's got the same teeth.
Yeah.
As that lady.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh! And she was also the only one that was in pastels.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I also did actually take a note that the woman who is credited, sometimes in this particular movie, a person is a like the body and somebody else voices them.
Right.
So I don't know if the body or the voice, but one of the movies he made later on, Anna is one of his movies, and it's like a woman spy, a female spy. But the princess who dies, yeah. Sasha Luce or Luce, she is the princess.
Nice.
I'm not sure she's the voice or the body. Yeah, nice. So I was like, well, that's cool. She
that
got like
cool.
a leading role. That's awesome.
I love it. And then we meet Ethan Hawke.
The Clam Club. So he goes to the Clam Club. Ethan Hawke is in this movie. He is.
Here he is.
He owns the Clam Club. Yeah, he's a bright shining spot in this movie.
He is.
Where I was like, hey.
Well,
what you doing?
He was kind of the level.
Yeah.
He was on the Fifth Element level. That's what he was.
Yes.
He was there.
Yeah.
He was that kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That I think the rest of the movie needed a bit more of. Not that I'm saying we need another Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything in me not to say Fifth Elephant, and I'm dying.
Hey, look, I can't say Pleasure District without really focusing on not saying blah, 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 blah. So.
Oh my gosh. So here we go. So Ethan Hawke runs an establishment for gentlemen.
Yes.
And gets Valerian in there.
Yes.
Why he goes in there, I don't know.
I'm not really even sure why he went to the Pleasure District.
That is,
to
is
save
adjacent.
Her? Is that explained?
Well, he was following her, and then you
okay.
blink, and now he's in the Pleasure
and
District.
Just,
so I don't know if he
okay.
took a left
right.
or because the thing is he now goes he meets Rihanna.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
In this,
yeah. Yeah.
In
yeah
this,
she's in this movie.
In the Clam Club, and then he meets her.
Sorry.
Hang on. It's because it works backwards. He needs her because she's a shapeshifter to
yeah.
turn into one of those bee blunglins.
A Bulan Bathor.
A Bulan Bathor to go and save Loreline because
did he...
you can't go in. They won't let anybody that isn't one of them into their specific
yes.
area except they let her in. And then, but I don't know how he knew the shapeshifter was in there.
Yeah, because he does end up needing her, but how did he know that he needed her and that he needed to go to that specific clam club to get a shapeshifter that could go over his body and shapeshift while she's on him, by the way, which that must have felt weird. But anywho, here we are.
You know what I mean? And you've seen it twice and you don't know how that happened.
No.
And she's
no.
not with us long enough to be like, oh,
no.
that was handy. He had to, like, essentially... kill her trafficker to get her out of there.
Yeah, he's dead.
And
yeah, he did.
Like, I don't think you just do that just cuz. He's also the only person in the Clam Club. Anyway, so we
yeah.
meet Rihanna.
Well, okay. So
oh, and somehow he got an invisible gun. An invisible gun. He got an invisible
yeah,
gun.
Yeah, so
because because The other cops, the cops that are all
are you broken?
The cops that are all hiding in the Pleasure District have just been told that Valerian is there and they need to help him. And they're like, okay, but Valerian just like holds a fellow cop up at gunpoint and is like, give me your invisible gun, bitch. And he's like, okie dokie. I'm like, he could have just asked for it. They've been instructed.
Oh, yeah.
They've been instructed to do anything to help him.
I missed that both times I watched this movie.
Yeah. So, but now he's got an invisible gun that's in his back pocket, but he's got his regular gun that Ethan Hawke takes for safety purposes in the club.
Yeah. And when Ethan Hawke takes the gun, he zaps it up to the sky with a rope, and there's a bunch of guns there, but there's no one in. So, like, obviously,
unless
this
there's
is some
a bunch
kind
of
trap.
Or there's a bunch of people in private rooms. I assume
it's
that
like
he,
a big room
I
with nobody in it. Yeah.
Kills everybody.
Oh, yeah. I think
money.
That's what he does.
But
yeah,
I have
yeah.
to say, it was really cool. You know when you see people interacting with props and they just look like they've been interacting with that very strange, not normal prop their whole life. So when he hooks that gun up and then like does the little kajunki to get it up there, he's smooth with it. Like he's just nice work, Ethan Hawke. And then he plays the piano.
Yeah, sits flaring down, plays the piano. That doesn't sound like a piano, but it's fine. It's fine. Rihanna comes out. Yeah, we're in space. And she does this cool dance of the thousand veils.
Rihanna of a thousand costume changes.
So this is a shapeshifter character, and she goes into all these different sexy costumes. So she's sexy Bye Bye Mein Lieber Herr. She's sexy nurse.
Sexy Frenchman.
And then, okay, so at one point, she's sexy, I think. But before, right before she was sexy Catwoman, she was sexy something else. And then from the Catwoman soundtrack, there was basically, in the music. And I was like, I wrote down, oh, wow, this music sounds like the vocalizations in the Catwoman. And then she crosses behind the pole and she's Catwoman.
Amazing. I did not catch
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was having too much fun with the transitions. Ends. They were very good.
Yeah, the number ends. It's really cool. And I quietly heard Ethan Hawke say the second time I watched the movie, I don't know how much longer I can do this for.
Was that just Ethan Hawke?
I don't know.
Or was that Ethan Hawke's character?
And he pours himself a drink. It was
amazing.
Great. Because he's like, hey, yeah, the whole time. And he's like, oh my God.
Well, I mean,
not much longer, Ethan Hawke. You're about to die.
Yeah, it's okay, buddy. You're almost there.
Yeah.
Okay, so then.
That was a short train.
It was a short train. So then he kills Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And talks Bubble, who is Rihanna, into shape shifting into Ethan Hawke, enveloping him in an aspic of her.
Because she's like a see-through bubbly
jelly.
She's an aspic.
She's an aspic. And then so she goes in there, and then she like comes out of the clam club, and there's like these big burly bodyguards there, and then she's like doing her best Ethan Hawke, and it was very funny.
It was really good. Ethan Hawke was great. So obviously it's not Rihanna being Ethan Hawke. You guys, just a secret of the film industry. It is Ethan Hawke pretending to be Rihanna, pretending to be Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Ooh, layers. But he is so great because his voice, it sounded like, I don't know if it was a voiceover, but it sounded like it was
it
him.
It starts
doing,
like him, and then it sort of blends
and then,
into her.
Yeah.
And then she's like,
keeps walking. Yeah.
Very cute.
It was really great.
So now we've established that she can envelop him,
Valerian,
and they can move as one unit while she shapeshifts.
They can
into
go
else.
Be a Boolan Bathor.
So that's the plan. And then she's like, I've never done one of those before. I need to prepare. It was okay. It didn't quite land for me. But
well,
it was
when she
funny.
Said, I don't like improv, I thought of you.
Thank you, because I don't.
It's not for everybody.
She did great. So she, they turn into one of them, and they enter this palace to go after Loreline.
Mm-hmm. Who is now dressed in a really cool white wedding dress looking thing.
Yeah,
long sleeve, some like laser cut kind of fabric
situation
going on.
Still
the costumes in this movie.
Shoes. Still with her sensible
costumes
shoes.
In this movie were really, really great.
Love. Yeah, they did a really nice job.
And she's got this big hat on.
Mm-hmm. Huge hat! Does anyone even wear a hat anymore?
Does anyone even wear a hat? There's this long line of food going to the emperor or whatever, or the king. Emperor. No, it's the emperor.
I think it's an emperor.
Of the Boolan Bathors, which I keep wanting to say the Boolan brothers. That's not it.
No.
And he's rejecting all the food. The tribe's lady who has been preparing Loreline is obviously the cook.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get him to get a meal he likes.
Yeah.
Valerian and Bubble are in this line. They go up. He rejects the food. They're on their way out. She makes a fun line about waiting tables. Oh, no. Don't tell anyone.
Right.
Artist's worst nightmare.
Hilarious.
Turns out, spoiler alert, shocker, Loreline is there to be a meal. He's going to eat the top of her head off because it's poking out the top of the hat.
I thought it was kind of cool. And
really terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
He like squeezes a lemon on her.
She comes up with a huge ass lemon.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge, really cool, huge lemon, by the way.
Yeah, really cool. And then her big, big hat is just like the rim. It doesn't have the top. And he's like, ooh, yeah. And then he has like this sort of like walnut cracker. No, it's like a.
Like a little shunkle.
You know those, what do you call that? A cigar chomper.
Yeah, a cigar chomper.
But for your head.
A head-sized cigar chomper.
That's the one.
Yeah,
anyway,
one of those.
This all goes badly. And then Valerian starts attacking everybody. Fight, fight, fight.
Bubble and Valerian separate.
Yeah, the Emperor gets his head chopped off.
He does.
Or, like, in half, like that monk.
Irony. Is that irony?
Yeah, a little.
That's irony.
I think so.
I did it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know which kind, but I'm pretty sure that's irony.
Bad irony.
Dead irony.
Bad for him anyway.
Okay, so then we escape down the trash chute.
Down a trash chute, baby.
Down the trash chute to get out, which artistically trims her dress. She finds a cool leather jacket in there.
Dyes it.
Pops it on. She looks grunge-tastic, and I'm here for it. I would wear this.
Yeah. But sadly, Bubble, it dies.
Sadly, Bubble dies. And upon, like, yes. So as they were going down the trash chute, you can see them, like, stabbing. And that's how Bubble gets stabbed. Mm-hmm.
That's when she got stabbed.
So then
she can kind of, like, morph her aspic out of the way of stabs. But
if you don't see a stab coming, right?
Yeah. No, what you gonna
do? She dies. And I think from when we get to the Pleasure District to here, none of that needed to happen.
Not really, no.
I think upon reflection, the only reason that we did it was to try and get Valerian to get some character development by establishing a bond with Bubble and seeing her die and blah, blah, blah. However,
honestly,
no, we didn't need any of this. Like that all, because this movie was too long.
Yeah. No, this could have been cut. I think she rescues him, then he rescues her is what needed
what
they were trying to get to happen. Yep. But like,
but we also do that we also. That. Also, and then, then side quest, and then side quest, and then side quest.
Mm-hmm. And I did think that Valerian and Bubble's chemistry as a duo was actually better.
Yes, it was.
Then
I thought
Valerian,
Rihanna was
so
really
it also
good.
Then maybe. No, she was
I
good.
She was good. Yep. She also sucked in voiceover.
Yes,
I don't know
I mean,
what
there's
was
a lot
going
of voiceover.
On in the voiceover booth, but everybody had a gun to their head. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah, they were like, I gotta come back.
Yeah. It was just dead. But that wasn't just her. That was everybody. That
everybody,
had to do that.
Yeah.
It was not good. Yeah. So I'm not sure what the vibe was in the booth, but it was not.
It's gotta be a hard job.
I mean, I guess, but you know what? You know? Like, basically all of Lord of the Rings was ADR.
That's
and
true.
And nobody
had
fucking noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so. Now we're back with the general. And he has
to
ask the super big guy who I never quite got his title, but like the guy that keeps
the guy with the glasses.
The guy with the glasses. And he has to grant access to the mule files because he doesn't have access to it. But he's like, well, the commander is fucking gone, and for all we know he's dead because he's in that radioactive dead zone. And that makes me the commander right now, so I need to know what's happening. And so they get him access to this, and then he starts to see the oh my god fuckery of the commander.
Yeah. Well, okay, so basically the commander's the guy that smashed all the ships into Mule by being like, yes, we are going to attack these people while they're down. Someone on the ship tried to alert him to the fact that this was going to
it was inhabited, and then he was like, they're just primitive.
It was inhabited.
And
yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So he decided that that entire race didn't matter.
Sure.
Yikes.
He's the baddie.
Yeah.
As we established again, a movie that maybe could have revealed baddie at this point, as opposed to
earlier,
when he's like, you just met me and now I'm torturing this person.
It would have been nice. Like, you still could have seen the torture. You didn't need to see that it was the commander that came in and did it. It could have been the scientists and some lackeys.
And maybe we could have maybe thought the glasses commander.
Yeah, because I would have. I would.
Who's most usually, because he also.
Admiral, maybe he's an admiral.
He signs,
isn't that bigger?
Admiral. Okay. Yeah, sure. Because he also assigns Valerian and Loreline as protectors, so maybe he's trying to keep an eye on things, you know?
That would have hidden it a wee bit better. Okay, so now we've got to, like, try and find out where to go. And Valerian's like, I feel like the princess is leading me.
Right, because the princess is inside his head.
Yes.
We found out.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, so once he meets the Pearl people and starts talking to them, we find out, we now go into, like, flashback city, and we find out, like, what exactly is happening. So apparently these people are also time travelers. Did you pick that up? Okay, great.
Wait, that makes sense, though.
Yep.
Because I was thinking, wait, okay. Okay, so they go into the dead zone. Wait, it's not evil and bad, and we can breathe. Someone's been lying to us. They go through this really shimmery, curtainy thing, and they meet the Pearl People.
Yeah,
the Pearl
People tell them they're
just hanging. They've got the commander. He is unconscious on a gurney or whatevs, and they tell the story of how they went on this ship. Their planet got blown up, and the ship that they were on somehow then was floating in space. And they had to learn how to do the things and run the ship and make their own little world until they finally came across a place where they could, you know, land on this space station. Knowing now, just now, when you said they were time travelers, that's the first I got from that. I've seen this movie twice. Yeah. Could be on me. It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But so I guess they time traveled to advance their society. And learn all
and
these
things. And it could be because, like, it was...
Otherwise, it was only 30
Valerian's
years.
In Valerian's timeline, it's 30 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but they have had lots of time. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. They're time and space
things
travelers.
Make more sense now.
But also, because when you think about it, when the princess died, that was 30 years ago in Valerian's timeline. But he's a full-grown adult, like, a day ago receiving that information.
And that's when he got... blue wave.
And that's when he got blue waved.
Nice.
So.
Okay.
If that helps clarify anything.
That helped clarify some things.
Yeah.
They basically need the converter to eat the pearl and make a bunch of energy so that they can recreate their home world.
Yep.
Find a planet to launch their ship and recreate a home
world.
Yeah,
just live their lives.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was not really taking notes at this point in time. I think that's
okay,
where I am.
I still got two more pages of very thorough
scribble.
Notes.
We're here. We're at the scribble.
Great.
Just the big scribble in my notes.
God. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
So now through this also we learn that when the blue wave hit Valerian, he is now the guardian of, I can't quite say, is it Liho's, the princess? Her soul.
Something like that, yeah.
Her soul is now... in his guardianship.
Inside of him.
So when the mom, like, touches him, she can see her, which is quite sweet.
Yeah. It is
and
nice.
And it's all very nice. Also, I have to say, I really love, like, the movement choices they made for these Pearl people.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they were so affectionate and, like, I just thought they did a really nice job with them. There was, that was a cool, thing.
A cool world and group that they'd built.
Yeah.
Yeah. The beginning of the movie, too, when their world gets destroyed and the princess is outside and they're inside the ship, I had a little tear.
It was real sad.
Like, that was really well done. I was real sad
about
it.
Like, for people that we didn't know what they were saying, we spent literally 3 minutes with them.
Yeah.
It was real sad.
That was really well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that flashback about everything that happened. Is when we get that call back to that guy who got shot.
Yes.
So that's when we see that is that he's like, hey man, you can't do that. There actually are people down there, and they're like, they're awesome and they're so cool. And he's just like, yeah. So you're the only one that knows that. So I'm just gonna kill you,
boom.
And then make this decision anyway. And it there could be an argument made for, like, when the commander gave the order to send those missiles and take down that huge ship, it may or may not have landed on the planet. There could be an argument to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to do it because of the economy. So this is when this
capitalism.
Because of capitalism. I'm fine. But I mean, that is a reason. That's a reason.
Yep. No, that's his reason.
It's a reason. Mm-hmm. There it is. Because he was like, well, The thing is that we were getting our asses kicked. I lost 500,000 soldiers, and I had to put a stop to this so that blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I had to cover everything up. And like the cover them up being there, because he was like, well, if they'd known that there were survivors and that I had done that and that these people were like this far along in their development and blah, 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 and they were actually like, you know, capitalism useful, and I went and destroyed all of that, then we get kicked out of Alpha City and no more capitalism for us, you know. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. Oh, nice bad guy. Nice bad guy. That's a good,
good bad
guy.
Good bad guy. Thank you. Clive Owen. Good job, bad guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Punch. My next note is punch. Yeah.
Punch. She taught me that. I taught him that. I taught him that.
I taught him that. That was a dumb line. I didn't like mm-hmm. it.
Okay. So he punches, Valerian punches the commander. Yeah. But he still has some hesitance about giving the converter and the pearl to
hesitance.
The people.
He like full out won't do it.
Oh, yes, that's true. I did read a little thing somewhere in the graphic novel yeah. world. He is sort of like the straight-laced, we're going to do it, the rules, we're going to follow our orders, even though I don't agree with them. And she's the one that's always like, nah, let's go
and
rogue.
And that would be fine, but that is not how he's presented the rest of the movie.
Exactly. And that's not how things have kind of been shown to us in this movie.
So
this
all
is just
of a
kind
sudden,
of,
he turns into this hard-nosed, follow-the-rules dick.
Yeah. We gotta go give them the thing.
Yeah, so then
she convinces him because of love.
Yeah, she's like, you don't know anything about love. She's like, I'm not gonna marry you because this exact thing shows me you know nothing about compassion and love and blah, blah, blah. And she's got a point. However, he's like, okay, fine, you can go do it. Then she kisses him and everything. And I'm like,
yeah, sure.
What?
All right.
No, he just proved to you that he's a fucking asshole. Just take him down and give these people back their property.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
So anyway, they do. They make the little pearl. Their planet
they
recreator
make a little hollow world.
Works.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So yeah, so they're within this very big cavernous blimp type spaceship, and it turns into the planet. Cool. I'm assuming they're going to go then put that down onto an actual planet, and it'll expand. That's what I'm assuming is going to happen.
Yeah, and they can make their planet.
Okay, great.
Very ingenious.
Meanwhile, outside of the Pearl Curtain,
uh-huh.
the Katon bad robots are there.
Yes.
Okay.
K-tron.
K-trons.
Flitz. Oh, Commander Flit. That's his name.
Great. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So they're outside the curtain because they all still don't know that you can just fucking walk in there. Then there's also like regular soldiers. And then mm-hmm. the Pearl people come out and stand. No armor, no nothing, no threat. And they're just like, what's up? And then we're just going to stand here.
Please don't kill our entire species again.
And then everybody's like, yeah, let's. Everything's fine. And then Valerian and Loreline are in this really old space capsule that happens to be there, and they're communicating with them.
Mm-hmm.
So
they open up
lower their defenses so that they can communicate and be like, don't shoot. The commander's in here. We're in here. Everything's fine. These aren't bad people. And then when that happens, the commander is like, psych, and sets off the K-tron things.
Yeah, he like says a phrase. It's like, you know what to do. Yeah. Well, okay, so I actually thought nicely done with the general mm-hmm. just basically gets convinced and uses common sense.
Yes.
And I thought for a moment, oh, are the people in charge going to do the right thing? Mm. Which I thought was nice, because so often in like this kind of movie, people just don't make logical decisions so that we can have a conflict. And I thought it was good that logical decisions were made, but yet a conflict still happened because super bad guy is super bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says like a code word or a code phrase and the K-trons go apeshit and
start
killing everybody.
Like our side, their side, mm-hmm. whoever. And everyone's like, oh no, oh no. And then they also are going bad, like in the command center. And going off.
Yeah.
And then I forgot to mention this guy. I think his name is like Messer or something. He's like,
the
guy that's like in the command that is like constantly like, I repeat the computer, Frank. He's like one of them.
Yeah.
But he's kind of, he's great. He's been pretty consistent the whole way through. And I quite like him.
I thought he was going to die.
I thought he was going to die too, but he doesn't. He saves the day. He does
save the day.
Yeah. There's like a bomb countdown. He stops it at one second.
Yeah. But there's a bit of a fake out because, right, it's like 5, 4, and then you see an explosion and you're like, oh no. But it's the ship getting out and going. So it's the Pearl people escaping. And I was like, yay.
Yeah, that was a nice little psych. Yeah. I liked it. And then they have left the commander behind. He's tied up, dangling, screaming.
Yeah.
And then the general is like, he's just like, oh, is he there? And they're like, yes, we've located the commander. He's like, is he alive? He's like, yes. He's like, great, arrest him. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Valerian and Loreline are still on that super old Apollo command service module.
Something, yeah.
Floating around.
Are they floating?
Talk back
are
and
they
forth.
Floating? Are they in slightly less gravity? Because their hair would suggest otherwise.
I think they are, but I don't know that they did the CG to make the hair do the thing. Also, you know, half the time when you do that, it looks terrible. So I understand.
And just put your helmet on.
Why, perhaps?
Just put your helmet on.
Just, yeah.
Just put your helmet on.
Just put a messy bun back in or whatever.
<You're fine.
laughs> She says she's maybe going to marry him.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
And my last note is, oh, for fuck's sakes, don't marry this clown.
Yeah. I've written sex in a spaceship. The end.
Yeah. Then they start making out.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of good stuff here. I think they focused on the wrong things.
They
were just so focused on the world showing that they didn't stay with the characters that we wanted them to. I think that whole side quest could have gone, even though it was cool. It didn't need to be there. Like if this was like a mini series, great.
Yeah.
But a movie, the whole thing didn't need to be there. And it's like, if the reason there was for character development, you needed a different way to do that.
Introducing
all this stuff was not necessary. Mm-hmm. I really, 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 really think their problem was him.
I think if you had a stronger Valerian,
then it could have pulled her up. She wasn't terrible.
No.
But what she was doing was very, very straight. And I think they just needed to find a couple of moments to give her something else, like a different level at a couple of moments would have been fine for me. Otherwise, I was quite happy with what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Him, he was a hot mess. He was just like, I'm playing. He was playing Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. The first time I did watch this movie, Matt was walking through the room when he was talking, and he just was like, is that Keanu Reeves?
Right?
Nope.
No, it's not. And I don't know what. And again, I'm baffled because, like, apparently this fellow is quite good. I'm not sure what happened here.
I mean, I think it just goes to show that sometimes casting the right person makes a big difference. And sometimes you're just not right for the role.
Yeah, and I really do think they needed a bigger name in here because she's not a big name. This side of the ocean doesn't know this product.
Yeah.
I hate that it's true, but like if they didn't want it to flop, they probably should have picked a bigger name.
Honestly, if Keanu Reeves was Valerian. Oh,
wouldn't he be great?
I would have been, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he would have been great.
Yeah, he would have been great, yeah.
But yeah, you just needed somebody with just like a little bit more name recognition, I think. Because even though there was like a few of those, like, oh, hey, that guy. Oh, hey, that guy.
Yeah.
And it's like Ethan Hawke had some pretty high billing and he was in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke was great.
And he was great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And Rihanna was great too. But again, they were in the quest we could have cut.
Yep, exactly.
So I don't know. You know, like, it's such a shame because there was some really cool things. And I thought that the graphics were really good. The look of it was really good. I think there was a lot of like awesome stuff to draw from. And obviously because like there's 40 years of comic or graphic novel to pull from. The Star Wars thing.
Okay. You Star Wars, and then I have some costume stuff to talk about that I'm very excited.
Okay, awesome. Yep. The Star Wars thing. Now, I haven't done a deep dive on this on my own, but if you look at the source material, apparently...
Oh.
It's quite a bit before Star Wars, and there's a lot of, oh, look, there's Princess Leia's bikini. oh, look, there's blah, 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 blah. So, which is not to say it's a direct pull. It's an inspiration or whatever. But I'm just kind of like, oh, man, like, if you've got something that was, like, the inspiration for Star Wars, like, how could this not land? Or... Because like John Goodman's character was very Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, and, yeah, I actually wrote down Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that there's just like these the spaceships are the same shapes and stuff. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there is this documentary called like Somebody's Dune. So it was a guy that was gonna direct Dune, but he didn't end up doing it. Oh my goodness.
Carbonite. The carbonite thing, that's also from Valerian.
Dune documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune. And I think that his version of Dune drew on this comic book.
Neat.
As well in its design. Maybe.
Something, yeah.
Something. I could be wrong.
Hello, it is Editing Emily here to say that I was wrong. Jodorowsky was inspired by himself when he was trying to put together Dune, by his graphic novel called The Incel, illustrated by Jean Girard. Fun fact though, they sued Luc Besson when Fifth Element came out, saying it had too many elements, haha, from The Incel. Also, there are some things in Star Wars that also, in addition to referencing Valerian and Loreline, reference the incel. Can't imagine why I was confused.
Right, back to the show. But that's actually a really interesting documentary. And the, cool. The vibes of the comic that they were showing and then his designs for Dune... really looked like this movie turned out to be. It was like the bright colored sci-fi, also kind of distressed and kind of like lived in looking, but also bright, which I think is an interesting. And that's what I really loved about this movie was the look of it was
beautiful. Awesome. Yeah.
Looked really good. The costume designer is Olivier I'm so bad at French. Olivier Beyrault. Beyrault?
Hey, babe.
Yeah, we had a French-speaking, kind of almost speaking French person.
Can you come here and read a French word? Okay, so that's a B-E accent that way.
Uh-huh.
All right, it's a name. Can you say that word?
Beyrault?
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. You pulled me in for this. Okay. But anyway... he did The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc, more French. Remember that movie that Hannah and I watched that was a movie about oh my gosh, we have to watch it. So it is a movie about a French like dinosaur paleontologist lady who is, it's like 1800s and her friend or her sister has like a knife stuck in her head that if the knife comes out, she's going to die. So she's just kind of like, and they go on this adventure and then there's like dinosaurs in France in the 1800s and it is French. This film, obviously, it's a wild fun ride and he did the costumes for that movie. Oh, Pauline. Hannah and I watched it one night after she'd spent the night when we had like a big party and she slept over. And the next morning we were a little hungover and we thought this was the same day I think we watched the Penguins of Madagascar.
So
we found two really great movies on the Penguins of Madagascar,
baby.
The
French dinosaur.
Yeah, no, we should watch it. The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Sec. Blanc, whatever. 2010. Fun movie. And same costume designer. But the person who designed the spacesuits is different from the person who designed the rest of the costumes. Which I thought was interesting, especially describing how the fit was strange on them. So, fun little crumb. That's a fun movie to watch if you've not seen it.
The uniforms?
Yeah, the uniforms.
Not the spacesuits? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The uniforms, not the spacesuits. Yeah.
I was like, well, the spacesuits were great.
Yeah. And I thought the male tourist and the female tourist at Big Market were kind of like a fun little, just a couple going in. You kind of follow them. So we're cutting back and forth between what the adventure and the heist and them. And that was a kind of cool plot device for us
and
to sort of see and get the exposition explained to us.
Yeah.
The woman was in this movie called The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, which is one of those, like...
I've seen that movie.
Films. Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
She's a dinner guest. Yes. Yeah. Have you seen that movie?
I've seen that movie.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
It's a movie I'm thinking of. I was terrified.
Yeah. It seems... It's one that is on my list to watch, but then every time I go to watch it, I think, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this kind of movie right now.
It seems...
I don't know. This is the one where it's like a gangster who goes to a restaurant and Helen Mirren's in it and his wife, she's cheating on him with the cook. And then also Hello Sweetie is in there from...
Oh, I love her, Alex Kingston.
Yeah, she's in it. And who
else is in it? Oh,
maybe
I haven't. I'm mixing it up with something
Tim
else.
Roth is in it.
Oh, I like Tim Roth.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a film. You know what I mean?
I do know what
people
you mean.
Are like, oh,
what
yes,
the hell am I thinking of?
I don't know. We should find out.
We should find out.
Oh, anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway. Well, Pauline.
Yeah.
If we look at the chart, is this movie redeemable?
It's a firm meh.
It's a firm meh for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Meh.
Well, all right.
Wait, what are we gonna do next?
Let's take a little pause while we figure out what we're gonna watch next, and then we'll come back and we'll sign off and all that fun stuff.
Never heard you make that sound before.
I was clearing my pipes.
Oh.
We're back.
Oh, we're back.
We are back. It did not take us long to figure out what we're doing.
Well, because we have a list.
We have a list.
We just had to make sure we still wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And we could find it.
These are the important things. So next we are doing
Red Riding Hood.
The Red Riding Hood. I got to say, all movies like to say The Godfather in Barbie.
The Godfather.
Red Riding Hood. It has got a 10% critics review on Rotten Tomatoes and a 39% audience score. It's got Amanda Seyfried.
I can't remember.
It's in it. It looks pretty trashy and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed, I think, by the same person that directed Twilight?
Yes. Isn't it Catherine Howardwick or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Director of Twilight. So I'm excited.
I'm interested.
Hang on. There was one review that I thought, yes, that's the one that I think has convinced me. While the story is no great shakes, this is the Herald Sun in Australia, it is the silliness delivered so solemnly that will really rattle you. Stay right away. So, yeah.
Oh my God.
We're going to watch it. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for that. In the meantime, I'm going to go envelop myself in an aspic.
Yes. It's a great place to edit. Great.
Did you hear that lawnmower?
No, I don't hear the lawnmower.
Open. Okay, great.
No. I mean, there's been lots going on outside today. Oh, man. One day we'll have a soundproof, temperature-controlled booth. Just a nice bubble we can float in.
We'll be in the same room.
Bubble.